Verse number 20, if you're there, Mark chapter number 5, say amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. All right, this was the last of the scripture talking about the maniac of Gadara. All right, so he leaves that area, which, by the way, was Gentile territory. He leaves that area, and in verse number 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. So he passed from the Gentile territory, back into Jewish territory. The Bible says in verse number 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now, no doubt, this was a Jewish religious leader. The Bible says he was the ruler of the synagogue. So I got to put this in context of who's coming to him right here. This is a man that had everything to lose. This was a man that by coming to Jesus, he was showing that he was putting his faith in Jesus, and he was going against the other religious leaders there in this area, wherever this may be. I believe a lot of people believe this happened in Capernaum, but Capernaum was my favorite place to visit when we were in Israel. There was not a place that I felt that I was closer to God than when I was standing there in Capernaum. I can't explain it, but as I stood there on that seashore right there, to see a Galilee in Capernaum, man, I was flooded with emotions of how many things God did right there. And he lived there for 2 to 3 years. He lived right there. He called the disciples from right there on that seashore. And anyhow, a lot of things took place right here in Capernaum. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, comes to Jesus, no doubt, because Jesus had not long before cured a centurion's servant. He knew what Jesus was capable of. And so he comes and he says, I have a daughter that's near at the point of death. And he says, come and lay hands on her that she can live. How many of you know this? We tell God how to do his thing all the time. Help me, y'all. We tell, that's like going to the mechanic and saying, this is what I want you to do. Well, if you know how to do it, fix your own car. I ain't going any further until y'all understand what I'm trying to say right here. Some of y'all, that's exactly how y'all act. Y'all go to an expert to do something for you and then try to tell him how to do the job. You know who you are. You know exactly who you are. And if you don't know who you are and you won't admit it, your wife knows who you are. Now, Jesus, this is how I want you to do this. I want you to heal my daughter, but you do it like I tell you to. Everybody all right? I ain't paying you. Is somebody okay? Bible says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. I'm glad Jesus ain't like a lot of us, because the ruler of the synagogue was against Jesus. And if he was like us, come on now, how many of us tell him, man, I ain't going nowhere with you. Remember when you said this about me? Y'all, well, don't get quiet right there. That's a bad place to get quiet. I ain't come to preach that part of it. Bible says Jesus was going with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. In other words, there was a crowd there. The crowd was huge. Bible says much people followed him. When you're dealing with this area, I told y'all this when we came back, Israel is not that big. You fit 5 of them in the state of Georgia. Capernaum is even smaller than that. You're talking about a small city. And yet this crowd, much people, was around Jesus, and he's trying to do a work. He's going with Jairus to where his daughter is laying at the point of death. Matthew says that all this took place in one shot and that the daughter had died. We're going to read here in a minute that a messenger comes and says that the daughter has passed, but this throng of people is around Jesus to the point that he can only move in one direction. How many of y'all has ever been in a crowd like that? Go to a football game. A big one, not an FSU game. You have to go to a bigger one than that. Let's say a Lions high school game. I'm just kidding. All right. So you go and you've been in a crowd. You've been in those crowds where you can't hardly move. You can only move in one direction. And some of you try to go the other way. You know who you are. I'll just leave it at that. The Bible says in verse number 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. The book of Luke, the writer of Luke, we know is the physician, a doctor. He says she could not be healed. Here we learn that she suffered through the treatment. People were saying, well, we'll do this or we'll do that. And she bought into it. How many of you know some people like that? They're spending everything that they have trying to get a cure for something there is no cure for. This is where she was at. Luke said, there's not a cure for this. Luke said, all this money, or Mark here said, she spent everything that she had and she only got worse. She didn't get any better because she was trying every new fad to try to get better. The Bible tells us in verse 27, and when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. She'd heard about him. She'd heard some things too, just like Jairus. She'd heard about a man who could heal by just his touch. She'd heard about a man that had power to heal just in the words that came out of his mouth. And she said, there's a possibility that I'm going to be healed today. It's going to have to be now. I'm not going to be able to wait until we get to Jairus' house. I might not be able to get to him. I'm not going to be able to wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow might not come for me, but today he's passing close by and I can get to him. And so the Bible says that she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. I can imagine my thought on this, and I try to put myself in the story. I can imagine as the crowd passed by, she probably just looked and seen where he was at, and then she just started bulldozing her way into the crowd, bumping into people and trying to get to where he was. She had to be moving with the crowd, not against the crowd, so she come in behind him with the thought of this: if I can just touch his clothes. Jairus said, you got to touch my daughter. She says, if I can just touch his clothes, I can be healed. Now, I ain't saying nothing about Jairus. I said what I said about Jairus, but I'm not trying to take anything away from him. He had faith that Jesus could heal his daughter. But there was a different kind of faith working here. She had faith that said, if I can just touch the clothes that he's wearing, there's so much power. There's so much healing power in him, I can be healed. The Bible says, verse 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, there's a couple of things that I'm going to point out, but I'm not going to preach. But for whatever reason, Jesus did not even identify or acknowledge that she was in the crowd until she made contact with him.
upon making contact with him, he said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, I believe with all my heart, he knew exactly who touched his clothes. And he's walking towards something right here. But he had a bunch of Baptists with him. And so in verse number 32, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now, why I said he had a bunch of Baptists with him, in the other accounts of this, they said, "Are you serious?" This is not. I translated this into Lake Parkian. Is everybody all right? "Are you serious right now? Who touched you? Do you not see the crowd?" This ain't Hebrew or Greek. Is everybody all right? Y'all follow along. "Are you serious right now? There's 1,000 people out here and you want to know who touched your clothes? Everybody." He was like Oprah. "She touched your clothes. He touched your clothes." Is everybody all right? Just had to throw that in there. "Who touched my clothes?" She, knowing what had happened, come, the Bible says, trembling. Listen to me. You can't miss this. She thought what had happened was wrong. She thought what she'd done was wrong. Why would she think that? Well, according to the law, she was wrong. You can't miss this. According to the law, she was wrong. According to Leviticus chapter number 15 and verses starting around 23, 24, 25, anything she touched was unclean. That means that every person that she came in contact with trying to get to Jesus was now unclean. And now for her to lay hands on him and for him to acknowledge that power or virtue had gone out of him, he acknowledged that now somebody that's unclean has touched me. In her mind, I have messed up. In her mind, I have made a mistake. Though I got my healing, I have made a mistake. I have done something very wrong right here. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying? This woman, this is how bad the law was. For all you that like to stick with the law, all you think that we ought to put everybody under a set of rules, this law would not even permit her to come into the temple for worship. She was not even allowed to get close to it. She had to be cured of her disease before she could even offer anything to the high priest for her sin atonement. So as far as this disease was concerned, she was going to hell. Y'all, are you not understanding what I'm saying? Brother Scott, she could not make atonement for her sin because of her condition. And if her condition did not improve, then hell was ultimately going to be her eternity. So the only way that she gets into heaven, the only way that she gets her sins forgiven, the only way that she gets right with God is if she comes to him clean. And she couldn't get clean because they could not fix her. We don't even understand what all was going through this woman's mind, because we think about it. We think about our little ailments. Oh, I call them little ailments. Is everybody all right? Don't get mad at me right here. We think about our little ailments, but our little ailments are not keeping us out of heaven. You can go to heaven with cancer. Well, let me take that back. You can leave cancer here and go to heaven. You can leave all kinds of diseases here and go to heaven, but in her case, as far as the law was concerned, she didn't have that opportunity. Everybody all right? We're talking about a desperate woman. We're talking about a woman that had to get to God. We're talking about a woman that had to be healed to have peace of mind to stand before God. Where am I at? Verse 33. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, daughter, I like that. Does everybody like that? I like that. I like that a lot. I like when you come in close contact with him, you now belong to him. I like that. Everybody ought to like that. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now we understand why he said go in peace. Do we not? Do you now understand why they saying go in peace? I'm bringing this out for a point. Do you understand why he said go in peace? As far as she was concerned, she had done something wrong. As far as she was concerned, she had made the whole crowd unclean. As far as she was concerned, she had made him unclean. And she came in fear and trembling because of what she had done. And now he heals her and he says, go in peace. It's all right. It's okay. Is everybody with me? Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Jesus called it a plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, listen, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. That's the inner circle. That's the inner circle of Christ. You find them in the Garden of Gethsemane going farther with him. Him leaving the disciples and taking them three and going farther. You can see them at the Mount of Transfiguration. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. Now these were hired mourners. They got paid money to come in and go, oh! That's how vain we are as human beings. Verse 39, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Why would he say that? We know she was dead. Verse number 40, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in there where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. We have a passage of scripture. We have two stories that take place, same event, same time frame, but two separate stories taking place. Or are they? Two different set of circumstances, but are they different? Are they completely separated, or possibly are they joined together? I've wrestled with this, and I've looked and I've read, but anyhow, I can't find anything on this, but I have a thought. It's not in the Bible, so don't go telling everybody this is what the preacher said the Bible says, all right? But this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, and this child was 12 years old. I'm just wondering if that woman with an issue of blood wasn't mama. I'm just wondering. Say, well, it doesn't say that. You would think it would say that. I would think a lot of things. But why would we make the comparison in Scripture of a 12-year-old child and somebody that... There's other ways that you could interpret it. There's other ways that you could do with it and run with it and that, whatever. But I wonder if the issue of blood didn't come from the birth of a child. You say, well, mama would have been with a child. You got to understand Jewish law. She had to separate herself from the family. She couldn't be with them. For 12 years, she couldn't be with them. The book of Leviticus says that if somebody sat in the same chair that she sat in, they were unclean. It had to be cleansed. It had to be, sacrifices had to be made. All these things to cleanse whatever she touched. And so her whole family would have been unclean and unable to receive atonement if she was around. Everybody all right? Y'all got your thinking stuff on now? That ain't what I come to preach, but I thought it was good. What I come to preach was this. There was a crowd. There was a crowd. There was a group of people that had gathered together because Jesus was in the midst. I look at that as a church. There's a church full of people here this morning. There's a crowd that has gathered here in a building because we believe that God shows up here. There's some people that are sitting there and they've come just to see if he might do something crazy. Y'all help me. I ain't got long. Y'all got to listen quick. They come just to see what might happen. They say things like this. Man, you never know what's going to happen at that church. Somebody might run across there screaming or something like that. Somebody might come down and testify. You don't know what's going to go on in that church. They call themselves Baptists. This is what I hear all the time. They call themselves Baptists, but they're Baptist-costal. They really don't know where they belong. I hear people tell me all the time. One of our recent members came up to me and he told me, he said, y'all are a hard church to identify. I said, well, praise God. I like that. I don't want to be identified with a group of people. I'd rather be identified with him. So I don't have a problem not being identified with a group of people or a denomination or anything like that. I like throwing people off a little bit. I think sometimes when we get into a rut with things, things just become a rut and we're not really sure if that's real or not. I want people to know we're real. I want people to know that I'm real. And there's a lot of people that just come to our church just to see, man, they've heard some things. Let's go see what that's about. Let's go see how it goes. Then there's some people that they really need healing. But they want to see somebody else get it before they believe it can happen for them. And so there were some people. Is everybody all right? There's some people in the crowd that day that probably had an ailment that they needed God to touch. But they weren't going to say nothing until they making sure he was there touching people and healing them. Right? I mean, they probably sat back in the sideline from the sideline like, what's he doing now? Let's see what he does with them before I get involved. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Is everybody's experienced it? How many of y'all's walked up there? You seen a price on something, right, in the store? And it looked ridiculous? And you kind of follow somebody else that's up there just to see if they got that price. Because if they got that price, you're fixing to load up the buggy. I need somebody to help me. Is anybody else like that below me? I'm not going to be the one that looks stupid and said, is this really this cheap? But if you go look stupid and it's not, hey, I'm coming up there with a whole buggy full. Look, now you gave them that price. You going to give it to me? That's the kind of people they come to church to. I need something. There's something in my life. It may not be a physical need, but there's something in my life that I need. And so I'm going to hang around and just see how this thing goes. I need restoration of my family, but I'm going to hang around to see if God's really working in this. And so they're sitting on the sidelines. Everybody all right? This same crowd exists today. They're there and everybody has a need. Somebody help me. I'm going to walk around. Is everybody all right? Everybody has a need. Your need is different than mine. My need may not be money. Your need may not be money, but your need may be money. There's something that you have that you need. There's something that you need God to do. But if we're not careful, we'll just get caught up in the crowd. We're with it. We're in the vicinity. Matter of fact, we can tell good stories about what happened while we were there. But nothing happened for us. Because as far as we were concerned, just being in the presence of him was all right. But this woman wouldn't settle for that. I've preached this before, and I've had this thought. How many people bumped into him that day? How many people was walking and just brushed up next to Jesus? Not much. Just
Come on, preacher.
Ain't got nothing.
Yes, sir. Yep. Come
on, preacher. How many people were needing something in? How many people, Brother Scott, was... and walked away still in the same condition they were. How many people in the church today that close? Whole time the choir singing, Jesus is. Oh, I know it's good. Y'all ain't got to tell me. I know when I'm good.
Yes, sir.
Jesus just working in the crowd. Just
yes,
coming
sir.
Through.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Lord, just God. Moving through the... Right. And y'all, come on now, y'all. Come on. Y'all failed him. Everybody all right?
That's right.
Yeah, man, I am not... My faith ain't with feelings. Everybody all right? My faith is fact. We all know. Come on now. You know when he's in the house. And here's the thing. This morning, he's in the house. And he's passed. He's made his way through the crowd this morning. But a lot of people are going to leave here without anything. Because they've casually had contact with him. She was committed. She was going to get her healing. Hey, he didn't come to her. She came to him. He didn't reach out to her. She reached out to him. This morning, every one of us has got something going on.
That's right.
But there's going to be a handful of people, maybe even less than that, that are committed to getting something from him today. And the rest will just walk out the doors having casually contacted him. One came on behalf of herself. One came to Jesus on the behalf of somebody else. Well, I ain't got nothing going on in my life. They might be somebody at the house. They might be somebody that ain't with you right now that needs him to be brought to them. We all have needs. She's coming to the piano. I told you I was going to be quick. Question this morning for all of us. Are you going to leave out of here just being a part of the crowd? Or are you going to leave out of here having got to him? Altars are open. People are coming. People have needs. People that don't want to go through another day and another week of just casual contact. But people who actually need to get a hold of God, who need God to do something in their life. I love this story. Don't miss this. If she was the mama, not only did God restore life, but God restored a family. Bible don't tell us much about the mother other than she was able to go in with the father when Jesus called the daughter to life. But I wonder, after 12 years, I need somebody to help me right here. I wonder, after 12 years of wanting to see her baby girl, if God didn't bring her out of darkness and restore her life. Not just cure her from a disease, but restore her life. Bow your heads with me this morning if you hadn't already come. This morning I ain't even going to ask the question if you need, because I think we all need something from the Lord. This morning I want to get you pointed in one direction and one direction only right now. This time I want to ask you a question. If today was the last day that you were on this earth, do you know where you'd spend eternity? That's the only question I'm going to ask. I don't want anybody looking around. I want everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed just for a moment. Say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know, preacher. If I died today, preacher, I don't know. If that's you, I want you to do me a favor and I want you to just lift your hand right up. Nobody's looking around but me. I just want to know how to end the service. Preacher, I don't know. Just lift your hand straight up where I can see it, and I'll let you put it back down. I'm not going to send anybody to you or embarrass you. Preacher, I don't know. Is there anybody in this service that's like that tonight or this morning? Preacher, I don't know. Just lift it right up. Anybody be honest? Thank you. You can put it down. I see that hand. Thank you. Is anybody else? All right, I don't see any. I want to tell you, the one that raised your hand, I want to tell you something. I've been praying for you. This ain't the first time, man, you've been on right here. I've been praying and asking God to do something in your life. And God's trying to do it this morning. You've already shown enough faith to be saved just in acknowledging your need for it. So as your preacher, I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want you to get up out of your seat. My wife is somewhere around here. She'd take a Bible and she'd show you how to be saved. You can leave out of here. Lay your head down on the pillow tonight. Not wondering or worrying about where you'll spend eternity. But it is your choice. I can't make you do it. But if you'll come, I'll meet you halfway. Won't you come this morning? Miss Michelle, I need you to find the Bible. Where's she at? Ooh, Lord, help us. Lord, I love you this morning. God, I thank you this morning for a message. Lord, I was worried about structure. I was worried about all kind of things in this sermon. Just a thought. Just a realization of where we are today. God, I want to thank you for what you're doing. Lord, today I pray that you would, Lord, help us to realize that, God, we sat in your presence today. God, we worshiped in your presence today. God, we've seen you perform miracles today. May we realize, Lord, that though this won't be wrote down in history and a book won't be written about this service, God, we attended a service, Lord, where you were present. God, we attended a service, Lord, where you did a miracle. Lord, I pray, God, that we write it upon our hearts and remember it long after today. In Jesus' name, amen.